All right, let's get it. We move into hour number three. Welcome to the program. I'm Jim Rome. Already, we've had a lot of show for you, and it's going to continue. I've got Houston Cougars head coach Kelvin Sampson coming up at 20 past. Right now, though, top of the third hour, we have a big head bet segment. We're on to the Sweet 16, which means we are getting down with the big head, James Kelly. Head, there are some sweet matchups in the Sweet 16. Generally speaking, how are you feeling about these games, and how are you feeling about your big-headed life?
Big-headed life is fantastic. I love these games a lot better than tomorrow's, that's for sure, as of right now.
All right, so how have you done so far in the tournament?
Good. I'm hitting about over around 60% so far in the tournament.
We'll take that all day long. All right, so if you like these games better today than tomorrow, let's get right. Wait, does that mean you're not coming on tomorrow?
Let's see how tonight goes, and then we'll text later.
Like the most big-headed thing ever. Let's not get into that yet. I've already set up that I don't like those games, and if for some reason tonight does not go well, let's not get into that. Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow, Head.
Okay.
All right, I'll see you tomorrow for sure. All right, let's start with Arizona v. Clemson. Arizona, a big favorite here, but Clemson finally busted through to get to the Sweet 16. If you like the Jungle Karma angle, they have that. And if you like them and value, you can get that too. Question per always, how much value is available right now? How do you see that matchup? How are you playing it?
Yeah, Clemson has worked me twice this tournament already, so bleep it. Let's go against them one more time and their karma and take Zona minus 6.5. The Wildcats are
is
national
that down
title.
To 6.5?
Well, there's 7, there's 7.5, and there is one or two books at 6.5 right now if you jump on it.
Okay.
Yes. And I like that 6.5 a lot better than 7 or 7.5, and I like the Wildcats. They are national title good. If their backcourt of Caleb Love and Kylan Boswell are on, first two games they shot a combined 37% from the floor. Good news tonight, though, the Tigers are not an elite defense. They won't turn you over, and they will give up three-point attempts at a high rate. Yes, that would qualify for our WW double blowout of the stat week right there.
I apologize.
Thank you, Alan. I appreciate that one. The battle on the boards will be actually key here. Can Clemson keep Arizona off the glass? Arizona is second in the country in total rebounds. Also, P.J. Hall has been Clemson's best player this season, but not in the tournament. He's been in foul trouble. They need him and Chase Hunter to both be on, but I like Arizona's defense to make that difficult. They are versatile. Let's go with the ultimate Jungle Caramel team here in Arizona. You know, Tom Tolbert's Cats, -6.5.
Dr. Boudreaux.
You know, if you can get 6.5, that's a really good number. I love that Clemson finally broke through, and I really do want to take them. I want to take them in the points. I really do. I just can't. Arizona is in good shape physically. They've got experience. They're balanced.
Yes.
They play both ends of the floor really well. There's a reason they're a 2. Clemson has been up and down, but their best probably does not beat Arizona, but their best may keep it closer than the line would suggest. So I am tempted, but I can't do it. I'm with you. I'll take the Wildcats. I'll lay the points. We're on the same page.
Nice.
Got a rematch of last year's Natty. San Diego State versus UConn. And yes, for those of you who may have forgotten, the Aztecs did actually play in the championship game. They're back in the Sweet 16, one of the most underrated programs in the country. That said, let's hope this one is more competitive than that one was. The books don't seem to think so, Head. The Huskies have looked dominant. They are double-digit favorites in this one. What's the number right now? How are you playing it?
I'll lay the 11.5 points and ride with Feisty Dan Hurley and his Huskies here. Feisty Dan says they are bulletproof. If you have a problem with that, I'd like to tell you my advice, shut up. They just might be. In the second round, the Huskies.
Yeah. Shut up.
Shut up. Exactly. Don't question Feisty Dan here. In the second round, Jim, the Huskies beat Northwestern by 18 points while shooting 13.6% from three-point land. That would be 3 for 22, and they won by 18 points. That's from a team with the fifth best effective field goal percentage in the country, so I feel they shoot better tonight. And the Aztecs probably won't shoot as well as they did against Yale when they hit 13 of 27 from distance. On the season, they hit only 32% from deep. Law of averages play here. One worry on a cover, pace. The slow Aztecs play faster than UConn does. I don't like that. But I'm going with Feisty Dan here and those dragon undies of his. He is 11-3 ATS in the NCAA tournament. It is the highest ATS win percentage for a coach with a minimum of 10 games since the seeding era of 1979. Huskies minus 11.5.
Great stat. How do you argue with that? That is a powerful stat. Look, as much as I respect Brian Dutcher and the Aztecs, my dude, Dan Hurley, may have a different team, but he's got the same exact mission and very similar outcomes. I love the guy. I love the team. I love the intensity. And I do feel comfortable laying the points. In no way should that be interpreted as disrespect for SDSU. It's just that I respect Dan Hurley and what he's built in stores that much. 8 straight tournament wins by an average of 22. I expect that to continue. I also will lay the points. Illinois, Iowa State. Now, that's an interesting game. Unlike the first two, this one is tight. This one is expected to be competitive. Question is, should I expect the clones to call you head a jockey little bitch? Or will you take Illinois and any value that comes with it?
Well, big chalk weekend, it seems like, so they can call me that, but not here. I'm going with Illinois and taking the 1.5 you can get. First time back in the Sweet 16 for the Navy Blue and Orange since old raspy voice Bruce Weber's 05 finalist team. You know, the
I would have probably, you know, I would have never said that, but I didn't know how mean he was and how tough he was. And
that guy right there, the Greg and Sun Valley dude of coaches right there. Love Bruce.
Come on.
They sound alike a little bit.
They don't sound alike.
Nothing at all?
One's got a voice box.
Oh, damn it. I thought Bruce did too. My bad. Fascinating matchup here. Completely different styles. Illinois ranks first in the country in offensive efficiency, and Iowa State ranks first in the country in defensive efficiency, according to KenPom. This should be close. The difference might be on the glass. Illinois is relentless on the offensive glass. The Cyclones rank 197th in defensive rebounding percentage. Let's roll with Brad Underwood and Terrence Shannon, Illinois, plus 1.5.
I see you working. Listen, I also understand why folks love Iowa State. I understand why folks think that they're going to be the ones to knock off UConn. I'm just not one of them. I'm not even sure they win this game, which is why I'm going to roll with Illinois as well. Brad Underwood just came on like he always does, so I'm going to play that karma angle. And you mentioned Terrence Shannon. He's been lighting it up for the Illini. Yes, Iowa State will make him work for everything, and they'll be up in everybody else's grill defensively. That's who they are. That's what they do. But I've got a pretty good feeling about the Illini in this spot. Illinois and the 1.5. Damn, we're on the same page.
Nice.
Bama v. North Carolina. Nate, just in the wrong place at the wrong time, Oates, against your dude, Hubert Davis, who's got the Tar Heels back on track. What is the number? What's the play?
Yeah, I'm not taking Nate's team here, freaking Oates. Speaking of the wrong place at the wrong time, that's been his defense this season. It's been like they've been in another
gym. What defense?
Gym. Yes, exactly. They suck complete ass on defense is what I'm saying. Worst defensive team left in the tournament. They rank outside KenPom's top 100 in D. So, hell yes, I'm riding with my guy, Hubert, and that live action he and his Tar Heels are all about.
We're competing out there. It's live action, Tracy. It's live action out there. I thought we were nervous at the beginning. Then we started to settle in. We got better defensively. Now we're attacking the basket. We're ready to go.
Are you okay with how Baycott is right now?
He's doing terrific. I'm so proud of him. I told you, 52%. Him on the floor is good news for Carolina basketball.
Thank you.
You love that guy. You love that guy.
I love Hubert. I love the hire. I love his resume. I love Hubert. It is about that live action out there, too, Tracy. And Baycott is still on the floor, and he's that's still good news for Carolina. In fact, this entire game should be live action. Alabama ranks first nationally in points per game, but North Carolina can score, too. And like 2 years ago, they have guys surrounding Baycott and R.J. Davis who can stretch the floor. One guy is Harrison Ingram. If he's aggressive on offense and the team is aggressive on defense, I love the Tar Heels here. And almost against anyone, ATS, get this one. My guy Hubert, 8-0 ATS in the NCAA tournament. North Carolina minus 4.5.
Wow. Hey, you want to talk about a wrong place, wrong time. Wrong place, wrong time is on the same floor as North Carolina in this spot. Wrong place, wrong time. Look, I know Alabama can score the ball. We all know that. I just don't know that they can prevent the same ball from going into their own bucket. Their defense is a problem. You and I talked about that. And when I say it's a problem because they don't play any. They're ranked number 348 nationally in scoring defense. So yeah. I don't really give a damn how much better they looked against Grand Canyon because it was against Grand Canyon. I will take the Tar Heels. I will lay the points as well. You and I picked the same exact games. Run it back, Head. What do you got?
Arizona -6.5 v. Clemson. UConn -11.5 v. San Diego State. Illinois +1.5 v. Iowa State. North Carolina -4.5 v. Alabama. And how thankful are Dodger Jano and Rogan Loam that the Grand Canyon Screamer is not in L.A. today?
They're coming together. They're going to make that run up to the crypt. Now,
that's freaking sweet. Are they watching both games?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Sweet.
Rogues was making some noise because Rogues is on spring break, meaning he went with his boys down to the desert, and he's going to come back. So they had this whole conversation. DJ's like, I don't want you tired. I don't want you tired. We need to be there. We need to leave at a certain time. I paid a lot of money for these tickets. Mama, are we going to both games? Of course we're going to both games. So they had this whole back and forth about it. So I have not heard from either one of them yet. But yes, they are en route to the crypt. And DJ's all about it.
That is going to be a blast. Good for them. Love it.
Love it. All right, Head. Any prop bets or are you good?
Nope. Just this.
All right. Are you feeling threatened by Alvy? Because Alvy's on one on Prize Picks.
Yeah, he's doing pretty damn good.
Pretty damn well.
Damn it. I did good today.
Thank you, Alan.
You did. Yeah, you did do good today. You did well. All right, let's make some money, Head.
Later. See you tomorrow.
Later. See you tomorrow. And yes, I will see you tomorrow, Head. He and I are on the same page on all four of those games. It depends what number you get. But yes, DJ knew that Rogues was on spring break from Boulder. She's been looking for things to do with him. Here's an inside story. So Logan buys Janet a birthday present, and he wants to be original with it. So he goes on a website, and he buys some comedy tickets. DJ is all about the comedy. She loves the improv. So Logs finds a show for under 21, because he's not, buys the tickets. They get ready to go Saturday night, because it says right there on the tickets, Saturday night. DJ calls the establishment to find out what the seating is like, and they say, oh, no, that's not tonight. That's next week. And she said, really? Because my son went on this site, a legitimate site, and bought the tickets, and it says it right on the ticket. She's like, nope, not tonight, next week. And my response was, y'all got scammed. So Mama Bear went into action and said, you know what? After letting me know how badly Logan felt about it, I'm like, I guarantee he doesn't. I guarantee he doesn't feel nearly as badly as you think he does. And we went back and forth on that for way too long. And then she went right into action. Good. You know what? Fine. I will get us tickets to the Sweet 16. And she did. So DGA went on some site, got gouged, overpaid, and bought tickets. Not for me, because she knew I had to work, but tickets for her and Rogues. They're going to the crypt. But she was waiting for Rogues to come back from the desert, and she knew he was going to pull an all-nighter and hang out with his boys responsibly, but he was not going to get sleep. Anyway, does that sound familiar to any of you? Dodger Jano is all about the Sweet 16. She loves it. How many moms do you know would go online and willingly get gouged the way she did? I mean, a big number per ticket. And let's just say they're not on the floor. And fired up. Totally fired up.
Mm. Totally trashed.
Mm. I may make one of them a show correspondent. All right, there you go. When we come back, speaking of the Sweet 16, Kelvin Sampson has the Cougs back in the Sweet 16. He's next. Nice job, Head. Thank you very much. Sports fans, are you ready to take your game to the next level? Do it with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Last hour, Alvy gave you a pick, a three-way. Over 3 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and then you wait and watch the winnings roll in. You could win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. I know you're thinking, I can do that. I can make 4 correct picks. Do it. Do it and get paid. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, Prize Picks has something for every sports fan. And with injury insurance, your entries stay in play even if your player gets injured. Download the app today. Use the code ROME for a first deposit match of up to $100. That's code ROME, R-O-M-E, on Prize Picks for a deposit match of up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. You do have to be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Rome. Speaking of the Sweet 16, we are joined right now by somebody who is right back there like he always is. The head basketball coach of the Houston Cougars. He is in his 10th season there. 764 career wins. He is a four-time American Athletic Conference Coach of the Year. Led the Cougs to the Final Four in 2021. An Elite Eight run in 2022. They have reached the Sweet 16 for 5 straight years, and they've got a big one tomorrow in Dallas. They take on the 4-seed Duke. We are joined right now by Houston head basketball coach Kelvin Sampson. Kelvin, my friend, good to have you back, as always. How you feeling?
Jim, I know things are going well if I'm talking to you this time of year, so it's great to be on with you, brother.
My man, you and I always talk this time of year, so things are always going pretty well. Listen, you, before we talk about Duke, Kelvin, you were able to grind out that huge OT win over Texas A&M on Sunday. You said that Murphy's Law kicked in when A&M went on that 17-5 run in the final 2 minutes regulation to tie it up. So let me ask you this. With so many things going wrong at the end of regulation, how much resilience and toughness did your guys show in getting back up off the mat to win that game in OT?
There's no question we did, but I think the thing that wasn't talked about enough was how great Texas A&M played. Buzz had a great game plan. Instead of running a normal traditional offense, he just spread us and drove us and tried to get to the free throw line. And then when our guards created separation and we had to get up to help, then they dominated the offensive glass. So their resilience and their toughness was just as good as ours was. We played a lot of really good teams this year, and I'm not going to rank them, but that Texas A&M team, that's the reason they won 5 straight games in the SEC. They played tremendous against us. But our kids are, we had 4 starters foul out. We had to have a walk-on come off the bench and make a key free throw. They just kicked our butts on the glass, but our kids just kind of hung in there. As a parent and as a coach, you tell your kids, just keep showing up and working hard and good things will happen for you. I think that's really what that game was about. A&M was kicking our butts. We started kicking their butts and we're kind of going back and forth. And that at the last 2 minutes was just chaos. And then over time, our kids, I think, really showed what our culture is about and how tough we are.
Kelvin Sampson joining us. Kelvin, I'm so glad you mentioned that about A&M. I thought they played their guts out. I thought that Buzz did a tremendous job, and they did show a lot of toughness. You know, to your point, you had 4 guys foul out. So one of the amazing things about March Madness is when unlikely heroes emerge in those big moments. And you mentioned your walk-on, senior walk-on, Ryan Elvin. He attempted 4 free throws, Kelvin, the entire year. He made a key one with 17 seconds left to put your team up by those 2 possessions. What were you thinking when he stepped to the line in that pressure situation?
I was hoping he'd make the second one because I think the pressure, and he wasn't in the game long enough to get a sweat up. I mean, literally, Jamal Shedd had just fouled out, and the only eligible person left on our roster was Ryan. So if somebody else fouled out, we'd have had to play 5-on-4. So I said, Ryan, get in there. And as soon as he went in, it was our ball, and he got open on the baseline at the far end. One of their kids fouled him, and now he's going to the free throw line. We're up three with 16, 17 seconds left. If he makes one, it's a two-possession game. So to drag the drama out, Jim, he misses the first one. So now everybody's going, oh, no. I can see the tension and the nervousness was behind our bench where our fans were was almost palpable. But it's just, this was Ollie from Hoosiers. This is your little son, your son practicing against the older kids or in the neighborhood. What's he going to do? What's he going to do? But let me tell you something. That kid is tough as nails. He's a captain. He never misses practice. He cooks for the team. He's the team's conscience almost. Ryan stabilizes us a lot of days because everybody loves him and respects him, coaches and players. So when he made that second free throw, and by the way, the net barely moved. That's how pure that stroke was. I put us up four, and I think everybody was just as excited for Ryan making it than it was for the Cougars making it.
I was going to say, Kelvin, it's one thing that it was such a big free throw and you had to have it, but the way you lay that out, everybody must have been so pumped for the kid. You mentioned Jamal Shedd. Obviously, that's a guy who can really make things go, but he's not alone. I want to ask you about Emmanuel Sharp. He had a great game. In fact, he picked a great game to have arguably his best game. He scored a career-high 30 in that win. How far has he come this season in more than doubling his scoring average from a year ago?
Yeah, I think our game against our first conference game on the road was at Iowa State way back in early January. And that was a little bit of his coming out party. I think he had 20 in that game. But, you know, Emmanuel's made 82 threes this year. Now, LJ Quire's made 111. And I would think anywhere above 60, 70 free throws, threes is considered he is a really good three-point shooter. But Emmanuel, from where he was when he got here, he didn't play the first 18 months because he had a horrific leg injury and had to have surgery. So he spent more time with the training staff and our strength staff than he did on the basketball court. And when he got back last year, he was our sixth man, but he still had a 8-inch metal rod in his left leg. And so when he went back home to Tampa, Florida after the season and they removed the rod, when he came back in July, he was a different guy. He's moving better. His athleticism was back. His swagger was back. And even though we took Damian Dunn from Temple as a transfer, who's really played well for us here lately, Emmanuel was just hard for him to beat out. You know, we had anticipated those two going at it to see who would start, and Emmanuel won the job, and when he got his swagger back, he's just gotten better and better. But being around LJ and Jamal has helped Emmanuel, too, because both those kids are very professional and mature in their approach every day.
We're talking culture. We're talking about leadership. Kelvin Sampson joining us. You know, Kelvin, TV cameras also captured a patch of the number 32 that your players are wearing on their jersey to honor their former teammate, Reggie Chaney. He was part of that 2021 Final Four team. He passed away last August. You brought him up when you addressed your team at halftime of that game. Why did he come to your mind at that moment, and what did you tell your guys?
You know, the way you phrased that question, Jim, was perfect. So at halftime, I think we were up by 5, 43-38. But our front line hadn't touched a drop. We didn't get anything out of them. JVA was in the witness protection program, Javier Francis, and Devon Roberts was nursing a sore or an injured left leg when he was kind of limping around. I got the feeling they were feeling sorry for themselves. And, you know, you're facing 20 minutes where you lose these 20 minutes, you're probably going to go home against a really good A&M team. And so I brought up Reggie because I knew what he would do in that moment. He would fight. He would scrap. He would knock somebody's head off. I mean, he is a tough, tough dude. And he would be the last guy that would be sitting in the locker room at halftime knowing it's a game that is going to either send us on or send us home, feeling sorry for himself or not having had a rebound or not having given great effort. So I just looked at J1 and JVR, and I was addressing it to those two specifically. And I said, you know, these were the moments where I miss Reggie the most. Is when we're faced with this predicament on the road in a hostile environment, even though it's a neutral court and we had fans too, but you know what I mean. But I said, J1 and Jay, what would Reggie do right now? And I made him answer me. That wasn't a rhetorical question. It was one that I required an answer. J1, what would he do? He just looked at me and said, I'm waiting, J1. What would Reggie do? He said he would fight. Then I looked at J1 because he this time last year, he was on this team fighting for us. And I asked Jay the same thing. He said he would fight. He said, well, then, just do what Reggie would do. Go fight. And I think that's what they did. And that's probably what they needed to hear at that moment.
Kelvin Sampson joining us. Really interesting. You've got a big one coming up, Kelvin, of course, against Duke. A Duke team, Kelvin, that's gotten really hot at the right time. They pounded James Madison on Sunday. I really didn't see that coming. What are the biggest challenges that you think they present in this matchup? How do you feel about the matchup itself?
Well, John's done a great job of building this roster. They've got one of the toughest matchups, inside-outside guy in football. Filipowski, Mitchell doesn't get talked about enough. He's really good. And he's also their tough guy, their enforcer inside, their best defender, the terrific rebounder. Filipowski is the same thing. He is tough as nails, make threes, can post you up, really good interior passer. But it's Roach, McCain, those guards. I mean, I've been so impressed with the improvement of Proctor since he got there. So McCain, Proctor, and Roach, they're all three combo guards, but all three can play point guard, and I think that makes them extra dangerous because they know in the pass, they know when to shoot. McCain is not your normal freshman. That dude epitomizes swagger. He thinks he is the biggest, baddest dude in the room, and he plays like it. He might be a freshman, but he plays like he's their best player, and I'm not sure he's not.
I mean, you got to respect that, and you got to like that about a young guy. So, Kelvin, leave me with this thought. Like, the team has dealt with multiple season-ending injuries. As you point out, in the last game, you had four guys foul out. You could have been playing 4-on-5. So there's been a lot of adversity, yet you're right back in the Sweet 16 for a fifth straight year. I know nobody in that locker room is going to take a step back. I know you're going there to win that game. But given the sort of toughness and the sort of things they've overcome this year, I'm not asking you to pick your favorite team ever, but is this one of your favorite groups ever?
No doubt. And I'm glad you didn't ask me to pick my favorite team. I don't know who said this, but it's true. Comparison is the thief of joy. Because I've enjoyed every team I've ever coached here. But this group probably has had the most adversity other than the very first team I had. Because it started back in December when Terrence Arsenault, who had 19 rebounds in his two games prior to the game where he tore his Achilles and was out for the year. He was playing his best basketball. And then later in February, Jojo broke his foot, had to have surgery. And then right after that, Ramon Walker, who's kind of our culture warrior on our team, along with Roberts sprained his lateral meniscus, and we thought he was having surgery, and he decided not to. But you know when all this started, though, for this team, Jim, was when Reggie Chaney died. That was our first adversity, you know, our biggest one, was when last year ended in late May, we found out that Reggie had passed away. That was a big hit. That weighed heavy on that team all summer, and we carried it into the fall. And then when the season, I'm sorry, that actually happened in August when we got back from our Australia trip. And we carried that into our fall workout. And you could almost feel him, you could feel him not there. He'd been there the last 3 years. He'd started on a Final Four team, key contributor to an Elite Eight team and a Sweet 16 team. And he was kind of my security blanket. So not having him there was a huge adversity. And then the season-ending injuries started hitting. And it was like, okay, we lost Terrence, we lost JoJo, we lost Ramon, but how does that compare to losing Reggie? And that's how I've been able to put it all in perspective.
Yeah, that's really heavy, really heavy. It seems to me, and I'm not there, Kelvin, I'm not part of the group, but it seems to me like that's not something you ever really get over, ever. You hope to get beyond it somehow, some way, but you never get over something like that, and you never forget it. Kelvin Sampson is in his 10th year at Houston, and they're on to the Sweet 16. As always, a very real and a very raw conversation. Great matchup against Duke coming up in Dallas tomorrow. Kelvin, I appreciate you making time for us and for me and for this show like you always do come tournament time. Good luck this weekend, and it's great to talk to you as always, my man.
Always here. Always same here, Jim. Thanks for having me on, brother.
You got it. Kelvin Sampson joining us. We've done this for a lot of years, Kelvin and I. Pretty much everywhere he's ever been. He and Houston going up against Duke. I thought that Duke would beat JMI, but I did not, or JMU, but I did not expect him to do to them what they did to them. They made a real statement. And Houston just keeps fighting. They just keep battling, and they just keep overcoming everything. All right, so some reaction to that. We are open phones in the last segment of the show. Quickly, 1-800-636-8686. Also, hit me up on the X platform. You know that, at Jim Rome. Huge call would be great. Tower of Beef is still in here. Don't go anywhere. Right now, here is a sports update. Here is Rich Ackerman. I can't stress what an amazing job Kelvin Sampson has done at Houston, what he inherited 10 years ago, and where they are right now. When he got there, his first year, they went 4-14 in conference play, which was the AAC. A decade later, he goes 15-3 in the Big 12 in his first year and lost multiple players to year-ending injuries. I mean, this dude's all coach. This is incredible. Chalk found this somehow. I don't know if you found this or somebody sent this to you. In fact, Chalk, talk to me real quick. This is on X. And it's, the account is Cars and Bids. Dude, what is it and where did you find it?
So this is a car bid website, kind of like, you know, an eBay kind of vibe, but just specifically for people's used cars. And somebody popped a 1987 Mercure XR4Ti with no reserve up there. So, of course, immediately people were just adding you on X as soon as that popped up from at Cars and Bids. So if you go to at Cars and Bids, you can go check out this 87 XR4Ti, which is in pretty shockingly good shape.
It is. Are there any bids?
There is one bid so far, at least that last check, and it was for $1,987. So that's the high bid right now.
$1,987.
That's correct.
I wonder what the Blue Book value is on an 87 Mercure XR4Ti. They list it as a rare coupe, 5-speed manual, mostly unmodified, whatever that means, 21-year current, and then the description ends. That's amazing.
That's
right?
The owner. So the claim is that the person who listed this car has owned this car for 21 years before they finally listed it now.
Insanity. All right. Thank you very much for that. Like, I've always said this about that car. One, it was a piece of crap. Sorry, owner. Sorry about that. I don't want to kill the vibe or kill the sale. I had one, though. so I speak from experience. How, and by the way, I just gave you free pub. I mean, somebody, I've always said this, as crappy as that car was, for whatever reason, it had like this cult following. They only made it for 2 years. It was a piece of crap. For the first 15,000 miles, and I've had some nice rigs, it was like the best thing ever. I could not believe how awesome that car was. I had actually a 3-speed, and it was bi-turbo. God, it was bitching, man. It was all leather, fast as hell, until the warranty ran out. And then it went right to hell. And the car wasn't good for after the second year I had it. I have no idea how this guy's had this car 21 years. I mean, did you drive it for 2 years and leave it in your garage for 19? How in the world is that car still running? Okay, so low miles. He had 28,000 miles on the car. I know I had at least 15 because I was only covered. The warranty was only good for 15. And the second that thing rolled over at 15001, every indicator light in that car went on. You want to talk about planned obsolescence. It was like right on cue. And then, I mean, they planned that obsolescence to the eighth of a mile. They planned that obsolescence to the minute. I had no issues with that car until it hit 15001. Because the second it hit 15,000, the warranty went out. And then it was a nightmare. Then the Blue Book value plummeted. Then I was upside down on the car, and then every time I took it in, as I've told you before, the guys at the dealership used to laugh at me, talk junk to me, mock me. What now, Rome? I don't know, mechanic guy. I don't know jack about this car other than it sucks. Why don't you tell me what now? We would, but we can't stop laughing. And then because I was younger and didn't really get it and was actually terrified about how upside down I was on that car, I didn't find it funny at all. They thought it was hilarious. Oh, look who's back. Look who's back. Right on cue, once a month. Rome and the XR4 Ti, the Miracore. What's up, buddy? What do you mean, what's up, buddy? Every single light on the dashboard is blinking. Can you please fix it this time? Yeah, well, we thought we did. We're not the ones who bought that car, dope. So anyway, there's still one that exists? This guy's selling it? I'll help you out, my brother. I live that nightmare. His is red. Brother. What state is that in? Can you tell? Chalk, what state that is? Let me look for a minute. At the plate? I can't tell. That is Ohio. So, dude, you've had that car in the elements, too. 21-year, current owner, no reserve, rare coupe, 5-speed. Ah, I'm looking at it. It looks like, dude, that can't be leather seats. Are those leather seats? That's cloth, right? Yeah, the leather was sweet. The exterior is Rosso red. It's in Vegas. Oh, yeah, no, they want that to be European. That I told you, that was a Ford-engineered car in Germany. I'm telling you, man, that thing was badass. Find it. You're running out of time. 7 days left. There's been one bid, $1,987, and one comment. Quote, awesome. Bought one of these new in 85. Should have never sold it. Yes, you should have, bro. Mine exploded on the way to the auction block. Oh, wait a minute, man. We got the engine. Let me play this video. Holy crap. Look at that thing under the hood. Wait a minute. He's actually on the road. 1987 Miracore XR4 Ti driving. He's got video. Yeah, but what year, bro? I'm not saying it's not legit. Here's some other things included in the sale. A key. That's big of you. Thanks for including the key. The owner's manual. A window sticker. Service records. I bet there are a hell of a lot of those. A repair manual. A dashboard cover. A fire extinguisher. You're going to need that, dude. Believe that. You're going to need that. Known flaws. This dude's great. I love it. And you have to disclose. Rear spoiler bolt covers missing. Antenna missing. Scratches on the wheels. Hey, my man, good luck. What's he got? What are the modifications? Oh, a Clarion CD player. I like it. Covers on the front seats. Compass on the dashboard. A mount on the passenger side of the dashboard. Hey, bro, I'm here for it. What's the first known flaw? Let me see. The attached Carfax history report lists a... I thought that was kind of a red flag. The attached Carfax history report lists a potential odometer rollover in September of 2023. It adds that this XR4 Ti's five-digit odometer, quote, probably reset to zero when mileage exceeded 99,999. And they quote, any reported mileage since then is potentially unreliable. Yeah, that's a problem. Dude, how did you drive that car 100,000 miles when mine went right to crap after 15?
A million.
Incredible. Let me check the interior. Yeah, it looks familiar. Yo, bro, good luck. I love that when somebody posts something like that on X, immediately it's like, Jim Rome! That's that. Well, I'm going to keep tracking that. Let's watch that, Tommy. Let's see if that guy gets it. 7 days, you're running out of time. All right, thank you very much for listening. That's a solid Thursday. I'm looking for you to come back here and do it again tomorrow. My thanks to our guests. We had the mayor, Sean Casey. We had the big head. We had Kelvin Sampson. Alvy even came in with a prize pick selection. It is opening day. I've got a Jim Rome podcast I'm going to push out later on this afternoon. Jordan Palmer joins me. So a lot to get done. Have a great day. See you tomorrow. We're out.